joining us in the studio this morning is Megan Greenman, RNMS, CCNS, CWCN, and Clinical Nurse Specialist for Nursing Quality and Safety. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
Welcome to HealthLink On Air. Let's cover all these credentials and designations. RN.
Registered Nurse.
That's easy enough. MS.
Master's.
Okay. CCNS.
I'm certified as a clinical nurse specialist through the American Association of Critical Care Nurses.
Excellent. And CWCN.
I'm a certified wound care nurse as well.
You're a busy, busy woman. Really, it's the clinical nurse specialist for nursing quality and safety that brings us to our conversation this morning and a new initiative at Upstate that you've begun.
Yes, actually, you know, we've been working on this for several months. It's a initiative on hourly rounding.
Okay. Explain to us what that means.
Well, nationally, a lot of hospitals are looking at hourly rounds and ensuring that on an hourly basis, patients' personal needs are being met.
So typically, a patient's lying in the hospital bed and they need something. They need to get up and go to the bathroom. They need you to pick something up off the floor. They push a button.
That's correct. And this is a little bit of a change from that. Instead of giving a patient a button or a call light and saying, push this if you need something, we're really trying to see how we can be really proactive and anticipate and meet patients' needs on an hourly basis.
And, you know, I think that's wonderful, and I love that proactive versus reactive. A lot of it really is perception of the patient, isn't it? I mean, if you're in the hospital, and I was just there, as listeners know, with my dad, you push that button and you wait and you wait and wait. And what you're saying is that I may never have to push a button.
That's exactly what we want to see. And then again, when we do have patients putting the button, it should kind of trigger the nurse. Wow, how could I have anticipated that the next time for a patient?
Ah, very interesting. So now you arrive in the patient's room once every hour or so, and you have specific things you look at. You call them the five P's, which kind of cracks me up, but you go ahead and tell us what those are.
I'd be happy to. Well, really, we've customized, which is a little innovative here at Upstate. We customized our hourly rounding based on the patient's status. So for our patients who are stable or on an acute care floor, we would do the five P's. So pain, position, potty, PO, and possessions.
And PO is?
Offering someone a fresh beverage.
Aha. Okay. All right. And then you even have additional ones for the peds floors?
Yes. We add parent and play for pediatrics.
Aha. You know, and when I saw that parents, I realized this isn't really just for the patient, is it? It's for the patient and the patient's family or caregivers, whoever is there spending time with the patient.
That's correct. We want to make sure families are fully informed and that we have an opportunity to make sure that there isn't anything they specifically may need from us as well.
That's great. Now, speak to me about feedback you're receiving.
Well, a lot of our patients are much more satisfied with the care that they're receiving. In our patient surveys, they're scoring, our nursing scores have really gone up.
Well, I have to think from a perspective of expectations management, this is huge. If somebody expects that the only time they're going to see you is when they push their button and they need you more often than every few hours, then they hardly ever see the nurses while they're in the hospital, and then they don't feel as if their needs have been met. On the other hand, if you actually anticipate what those needs might be and you show up, they must be happier. In other words, you've taken the initiative. You are proactive. They don't have to wait for you to react to their call.
Well, what's actually interesting is hourly rounding is nothing new for nursing. It's what we've been doing forever. Mm-hmm. And my staff will be the first people who will tell you that. Mm-hmm. What's different is instead of you seeing us in and out of the rooms frequently, we're taking the extra effort to explain to the patient our commitment to hourly rounding, what exactly we're going to be consistently asking them and offering them on an hourly basis.
So they know that you're anticipating all of those needs.
It's the communication that's a real big difference with hourly rounding.
Communication, of course, is always so huge. And actually, what I also love is that you have evidence. You know, we talk about evidence-based medicine, and that often is about chemicals and biological interventions, those kinds of things. But you have evidence that this approach works for care.
That's right. It's actually been studied in the literature. They looked at why patients were actually using the call light. And that's how we came up with the five P's, which is sort of a national thing. It's commonly what patients tend to ask for when they are pushing that call light.
And sure, you've really covered everything. I mean, they need to get up and go to the bathroom and need some help. They've dropped something on the floor and you can help them pick it up. They're thirsty or they're hungry and you can. So you really have anticipated. Now, tell me what happens then. Do they come up with anything that you hadn't thought of that aren't included in those five P's?
Actually, we did. We were really innovative, and we had a group of critical care nurses who got together. And, of course, when we have patients who are critical, were saving their life. Mm-hmm. So what is a new opportunity with hourly rounding is to connect and really make sure that our families are fully informed. Because, you know, the literature will show us that when your loved one is at risk of dying, family members can experience anxiety, depression. It could even lead to post-traumatic stress.
Oh, really?
And when we look at what the studies have shown, some of the risk factors for those symptoms that we can actually make a difference with is informing our patients and making sure they're educated and they know what's going on, and the families as well.
I love that word education. It's huge. If people understand what's going on, then when it happens, it's not a surprise and they're not as fearful, are they? I also love that you said in some of the information I read before we met this morning that you make it a point to look into the patient's eyes or look into the family member's eyes when you're speaking to them. That to me is huge. So often somebody comes into the room and they're just buzzing around and doing something, and you feel as if they're doing things around you but not necessarily for you. Was that a part of your evidence as well, that was something you needed to do?
Well, yeah, how we communicate with patients is really something that we can always improve on. Another example is when before we leave a room, we would communicate to the patient, you know, another nurse will be back within an hour. Is there anything else I can do for you before I leave? I have time. And really what a lot of hospitals nationally have seen is by using specific scripting terminology, by telling people we have time, because the patients look at us and think, oh, they're in a rush. I won't ask them for that last thing.
Exactly.
But we really want them to ask. So we are assured that before we leave the room, they have everything that they need.
That is fabulous. Well, what a wonderful model. And anyone who's going to be a patient at Upstate in the next whatever amount of time knows that they can anticipate this. Megan Greenman, thank you so much for coming by this morning.
Well, thank you.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. I'm right, you're wrong, or a new physics of relationships. Well, dear listeners, the other day my wife and I are having a marital, quote, discussion. You know, the kind that goes, you said, no, I didn't. Stop interrupting me. I wouldn't interrupt you if you'd let me say something. Bottom line, I'm right, you're wrong, you miserable weasel head. Anyway, somehow, one of us, using highly sophisticated interpersonal communication skills developed through 25 years of single-minded devotion to mature marital compromise, must have been me, said, we seem to remember this differently. How about talking later? And we retreated to our separate orbits in the universe. A bit later, I was reading an interview with Murray Gell-Mann, the guy who made one of the stellar discoveries of 20th century physics, the subatomic particle that somehow connects the neutron and the proton, the quark. He said, the quark was not a difficult thing to deduce. What was difficult was believing it. In a nanosecond of intracranial supercollider collision, I realized, this is my wife's problem. It's difficult for her to wrap her cortex around the intergalactically obvious fact that I'm right and she's wrong. But then I read the rest of what my now dear friend Quarkman Gell-Mann said. What was difficult was believing it, because nobody had ever heard of making the neutron and proton composite. Uh-oh, Houston, we have a problem. Composite. A faint signal from my cerebral netherworld. Is Quarky saying that a relationship is made of two elements, like proton and neutron combined, and that my wife might have a point other than the one on the top of her head? Somehow, I refocused my internal Hubble telescope on Quarky's composite idea and stay on target, stay on target. Eureka! My own 21st century spark of genius. My wife might be a different person than me. And maybe I could lower my force field of listening to myself and get curious about how she sees things through her own Hubble. Maybe our matter and antimatter could combine into a composite greater than the sum of the parts and blast our marriage to spatial coordinates where we've never gone before. Kaboom! A new universe bangs into existence. I'm Dr. Rich Sparky O'Neill. Thanks for listening.